can open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. We will continue in our study of Luke's gospel. The only Gentile writer in the New Testament. But we are thankful for the Lord's using him and giving us this, his word. We'll read this morning in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 through verse 19. Please follow along. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Of course, this is Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this event in the life of Christ, wherein his own hometown, where he grew up, he took your word and read it and then declared that it was fulfilled that day and from there forward. Lord, help us to hear your voice this morning. Let us recognize and realize the presence of Christ by the Holy Spirit with us today. Let us be fed and encouraged and built up in our faith. And let your name be glorified and your kingdom come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my message today I chose was Kingdom Partnership. As we've gone through this study here in Luke and we've looked at these events in Christ's life, both from the baptism to when Christ was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit descended and rested upon him. And then as he was filled with the Spirit and he came back to Jordan, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he faced temptation and trial from Satan for 40 days, and then we see last week we looked at Christ returning to Galilee to begin his ministry, and he does so in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about how important, how essential the Holy Spirit activity was in the gospel, in the activity of God, in the salvation of the world as he worked with Christ and as Christ accomplished his purposes in coming to the earth through the incarnation. All of salvation is the act of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as it said, as we looked at last week, in the power of the Spirit, as Christ, the God-man who has laid aside his divinity, begins his ministry in the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. News of him spreads, it says, throughout the region. And he was glorified by all. And, of course, as the news spread throughout Galilee, Nazareth is in Galilee. So word got back home, you might say. And finally, in Christ's journey, he comes to Nazareth, his hometown where he grew up. You recall whenever God led Joseph and Mary out of Judea because Herod was going to try and kill Christ, that the Magi, the wise men, had told him, had told Herod, had been born. You recall he killed every male child from two and under in that area. But God had pre-warned Joseph and Mary, and they left and they fled to Egypt. And finally, when Herod had died and it was time to come back, the Lord told them again that it was time to return. And you recall that they didn't go back to Bethlehem where they had been, but the Lord led them to Nazareth, and that's where Christ grew up. That's where he learned to be a carpenter under his supposed dad's tutelage as a carpenter himself there in Nazareth. But now everything has changed, and Christ has entered his ministry, and John has identified him as the Lamb of God, and Christ has joined and been and you might say in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and has begun his ministry, and things are happening, and it's evident that the kingdom of God is taking place, you might say. And so finally he gets to where to his hometown, to Nazareth, where word has been received that the hometown boy has done well. He's doing good. And he goes to church. Of course, it's not church, it's a synagogue, but he goes there as it was his custom every Sabbath day. So Christ gives us that example. And he's handed the book. He stands up to read. He'd done that before. It was his custom to go, and he's invited to read from the scripture. And they hand him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, of course, you know it's not a book, it's a scroll. But he finds a place therein, in Isaiah's writings, where it fits what he came for that day. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Again, he declares his partnership with the Holy Spirit in accomplishing the Father's will. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, what takes place there in that instant continues on in this passage, but I don't want us to rush through this passage and this event, so we're going to stop at this point as we look at that this morning. So what is Jesus saying when he declares this? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," which is a term that's used a lot in the Old Testament. And it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon someone and they are anointed. You recall all through the Old Testament, there are times when someone is anointed. And it's a significant thing. It's seen throughout the Old Testament when God chooses someone, sets them apart for a specific calling or purpose, and then empowers them through partnership with the Holy Spirit to fulfill and accomplish His will to His glory and their fulfillment. By His anointing, the kingdom of God is revealed in the everyday here and now. That's what Jesus showed us. That's the example of his life. He's come with a purpose and a calling from his Father. And he chooses because he has laid aside his divinity. He's no longer using the rights and authority and power of his divinity. He is living as you and I, as a man, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, in the power, in the presence, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is and makes him our example. He is showing us God's way to live in God's kingdom every day in the here and now. Jesus didn't go around doing all the stuff he did, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, casting out demons, etc., because he was God in a man's suit. He did all he did because of his partnership as a man with the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who lives in you if you are saved. The same Holy Spirit who anointed Christ has anointed you for God's purpose for you. To do the Father's will in your everyday life that you could not otherwise do without Him. That's what Christ is showing us by His life and by these events. It's the life of Christ, the Anointed One, expressed and lived out in the varied and particular lives of each of His children in your life and in mine. Christ is going through these events. He is fulfilling the coming promised Messiah. That's what He's reading here. We're going to look at that in a minute. It is the coming of Christ. It is the coming of the promised one, the anointed, the Messiah. And at the same time, He is offering this life to all who will follow Him. What Jesus is doing in Isaiah is reading from chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. That's where He went to in Isaiah. And it's a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah so many hundred years before of the coming of Christ. And this is what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stops, which is just the first line of verse 2. Now Isaiah goes on and says, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. But Jesus chooses, as I said, to stop at the end of verse of the first sentence of verse 2 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The reason most commentators say that he stopped there is because that first part is a reference to the first coming of Christ, the advent, the first time that Jesus came, the incarnation. And from the second line of verse 2 and forward is the time of the second coming of Christ, when Christ comes in power, when judgment takes place, and when God restores all of his people and all of creation to his glory. But that's what Christ is doing. He is declaring who he is and why he's come and how he will fulfill his role, his purpose, his fulfilling of the Father's will. And in that process, show us how we will do the same. That is what's taking place here. He declares his partnership with the Holy Spirit to institute the kingdom of God in the earth. The gospel, the good news proclaimed. The love of God liberates and heals and restores. The Holy Spirit is empowering him, is working with him and through him to fulfill, by his anointing, by his empowering, to fulfill, having chosen, called, and empowered us, he's working in us to do the same. Because he is with us, because he is upon us, because he is in us, we can speak up. We can share, we can proclaim the gospel. Our lives, our actions, and our words can bring the effect, the presence, the power of the kingdom of God to change people's lives. He will, with us, with you and with me, liberate, heal, and restore others, just as Christ declares here that He has come to do and calls us to follow. Jesus proclaimed by His coming that Jubilee has come. You say, well, what's Jubilee? Well, when He says in verse 19 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, He is referring to what is called the year of Jubilee. It's in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 through 10. It's something that God established in the law of Moses that was to take place every 50 years in Israel. It was a glorious and wonderful event. Leviticus 25, 8 through 10 says, "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourselves, 7 times 7 years. And the time of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement," which of course pointed to the cross, when Christ would bear our sins and redeem us. "On the Day of Atonement you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all the land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." Now what that means is, every 50 years, you see, everyone in Israel, by birth, received an inheritance. They received an allotted land. They received an allotment of the promised land. Well, as life goes, different things happen, various events happen, bad decisions were made, sicknesses, whatever, and they may have lost their land. They may have borrowed money against it, and they may have lost it. This event happened, that event happened. Whatever the case, they lost it. And then some of them even found themselves enslaved. They were indentured servants. Their debts had so piled up that they had had to sell themselves into slavery. Life happened. It wasn't always good. But God saw to it by instituting there in the law that every 50th year, all of it was wiped out. Everyone went back to their possession. All that they lost, their allotment of land was returned to them. And all of those who even had become enslaved because of their debt, because of whatever event had happened, were set free. And they were returned to their family. Pretty good picture of the gospel and salvation, isn't it? And that's what Jesus is declaring here. In all that He's come to do, to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, not just physically poor, not just materially or financially poor, but as He says in Matthew, the poor in spirit, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, not just physical sight, but understanding. To set at liberty the oppressed, to lift oppression from people's lives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to restore, to liberate, to bring us back into the family, where we belong. No longer slaves, no longer bound, no longer oppressed, no longer blind, no longer impoverished in spirit, but brought and restored into the family of God. And all that we had lost and were enslaved to through sin, through evil, through darkness, through all that's taken place, in our lives, in living, in failures, in weakness, in darkness, Jesus came to restore. And that's what He is declaring is taking place upon His coming. And that's what He offers to do for every one of us. But not only just for us, but through us. Notice that three times in this passage, the word to speak up, a word for speaking, for announcing, takes place. Preach, proclaim, proclaim. You see, He's given us a privilege of being carriers of the gospel, of the message that Jesus came to restore, to heal, to liberate, to bring you back home into the family. And by the power, by the partnership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do that. We can have that impact. We need to have it in our country. We need to have it in our community. It is desperately needed in the world to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If you're lost, brokenhearted, enslaved, blinded in darkness and confusion and or oppressed, today's the day. Today's your day. Jesus has come, and as He has declared, He offers to you forgiveness to restore your life, release from all that enslaves you, and return to the family, to home, to His family, where you belong. Believe it. Accept it. Receive Him, and He will save you. You may be listening to this on the computer or on the radio, but know that He welcomes you. And we will too, if you want to contact us. And those of us who are already Christians, Christ has called us into this same partnership. He shares with the Holy Spirit a partnership where we, by His power and help, proclaim with our words and our lives the kingdom of God has come. Isn't that what Jesus said over and over and over again? The kingdom of God is at hand. Today, every day, we can offer to those around us. They, through Jesus, can be restored, released, and returned back home to the family of God and eternal life. That's what Jesus has declared He came to do. And that's what He is declaring He's commissioned us to partner with Him in. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for this event in Christ's life that so clearly declares what He came to do, to Your glory and for us. And Father, I thank You that in doing so, He has called us to partner with Him, with You, with the Holy Spirit in the expansion of Your kingdom in our everyday lives and communities and throughout the world. Thank You, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.